Welcome to the Experience Points Podcast, episode 83 for June 23rd, 2010.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Experience Points Podcast. I'm Scott Juster.
I'm George Albor.
We are the co-creators of experiencepoints.blogspot.com. It's a website we created and dedicated to the serious but not humorless analysis of video games and culture. And this past week, been a big week for video game culture.
It has.
E3.
E-thrizzle-thrazzle.
The Electronic 3.
What is it? Electronic Entertainment Expo. There's three of them.
There are three of them. One half of Experience Points was at E3.
Yes, both of our upper halves.
We were lucky enough to have you, George. Yes, you were down at E3.
I got a chance to go down there and poke around and look at some of the weird things that we associate ourselves with.
Yeah.
You know, like women in cages and...
Yeah. Are you sure you just weren't at a strip club?
That might have been it.
Okay.
All of LA is kind of this grungy, you know...
So you could say that you escaped from L.A.
I did escape from L.A., yes.
All right, good to know.
Barely.
Because I was back up here in the command center monitoring things from the Bay Area. And we thought that it might be interesting to have kind of a little E3 debrief since you were on the inside of things.
Yes.
And while I was on the outside of things, we can kind of meet in the middle here and just go over what happened at E3,
Definitely.
Some of the bigger events.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting because it's so much on people's radar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know exactly how many... average person just on the street knows about E3 as a big event.
Yeah.
But, I mean, these days, it's almost like you don't really have to be there anyway. All the broadcasts or all the press conferences are available online, streaming. You get, you know, news reports right off the bat.
And but, people are like, I noticed we were kind of all watching it at the same time. Like, I could tell my Twitter stream, everyone was doing the same thing.
Yeah, which actually I think is kind of fun because you get to... you know, partake in a conversation as if you're all sitting there in the same room.
Yeah, it's like a virtual audience or whatever.
Yeah.
That's one good question. Did you have a sense of that when you were down there? Like, I know, like, when you go to a sporting event or something, sometimes they'll stop play until the TV cameras can get back on and get set up.
Yeah.
Was there any of that kind of weirdness happening down there?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Like
pause play.
Was it obvious that they were trying to gear it towards the internet audience rather than the audience in the room?
Yeah, definitely, actually. Yeah. At the Sony press conference, they made reference to the people watching specifically. Like, oh, all you people at home who couldn't be here, go check this out, and such and such. So, yeah, absolutely. And, of course, you get all these people walking around the show floor with cameras and taking pictures of you playing, you know, demos and stuff.
Yeah. So you show up on weird blogs of like
I'm sure some like I'm kind of wondering if I could ask like, can you please not film me? I don't know. You know, my employer doesn't know that I'm here this week.
You get like blurred out face or something like that.
Yeah.
Hmm. So maybe we should go into, since it's such a company focused event, break down a little bit company by company.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I mean, the funny thing is, I think the conference itself is broken down in that way.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of big publishers on the show floor, but, you know, everyone is really just discussing, at least in the press conferences and in some of the conversations around the floor, not so much, you know, what is a specific game that is super awesome, although, of course, that happens, but, you know, what's going on with Nintendo versus Sony versus Microsoft?
Mm-hmm.
And it almost seems as if a lot of the conference is more for the shareholders than the fans.
Yeah.
You know, it's more like we're trying to prove ourselves.
Uh-huh. Should we start off with the big M, Microsoft?
Yeah, sure.
So what did you see of Microsoft? Like, were you at any of their big events?
I didn't make it to the only press conference.
Do you have a new Xbox?
I don't. I wish I did.
Pulled an Oprah.
So speaking about the new Xbox,
at
the Microsoft press conference, they gave out all these new Xboxes and made the announcement.
Yeah.
They're black.
Yeah.
They're sleeker. They have a larger hard drive.
They're kind of like the old fat PS3s, like that material, like the glossy finish.
Yeah. And they look nice. You know, I saw them. They're quieter. That's a big improvement. It's just funny because Microsoft seemed to stress that was one of their big things, right? They're like, check it out. We've got a new Xbox. It's available right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, should we really be that happy about it? A lot of the things that are in this new model should have been in the first model.
Like wireless.
Like, yeah, built-in Wi-Fi, a larger hard drive space.
Shit that doesn't break.
Shit that doesn't break. Yeah. Yeah. It's quieter fans. Like, there's much more ventilation.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they got rid of the red rings entirely.
Oh, yeah.
So that you can't have that meme now. You can't have, my thing red ring because there's just no red.
It sounds weird, but I bet that was actual consideration for them. Like,
I'm
wanted
sure.
to like rid themselves of this scarlet letter or scarlet ring. Yeah, like, and so they're like, okay, forget it, it's only green now, or whatever color it is.
I would,
like,
do it. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got to see them. Like, were they markedly smaller than the old Xboxes?
They were, and they had this weird dent in the center too. Yeah. Like, they were sleek, they were cool. I like it. I could definitely see myself getting one when my original Xbox inevitably breaks down.
Yeah.
I mean, they're nice. It's just, you know, when we think about Microsoft, it's not, I don't know where they fit in between Nintendo and Sony.
I think that was a big shift in this E3 specifically, because we got the whole Kinect thing going now.
Yeah, and yeah. I think a lot of people are hesitant to buy into that, right? Mm-hmm. We don't really know, I mean, what it's for, right?
Did you see Kinect games going on down there?
Yeah, so they had a bunch of, like, glass rooms where you could watch people play or partake, and then I was able to play one demo of mm-hmm. the sports game where I was, like, you're a football player and you're kind of like juking,
okay,
stiff arming people, dodging out of the way.
Did you automatically run forward, or did you have to kind of?
I automatically ran forward.
Okay.
Yeah, and I asked them, like, if I move my feet faster, will I move faster? Uh-huh. And no, that's not the case.
Okay. How did it feel? I mean, like,
it felt fine.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty responsive. I think maybe there was a small amount of lag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not actually a big 300-pound dude running at me, which is good. I'm very thankful for that.
Did it feel odd, though, because your eyes are telling you that there should be some kind of haptic feedback, but you never feel anything?
Yeah.
Did that feel weird, or did you kind of just forget about that when you started playing?
I mean,
it?
I kind of just forgot about that. It's funny because I was talking to someone there that, you know, the force feedback on the controllers are a big deal. You know, when you fire something or you feel that responsiveness of jolt, of maybe even something popping out at you,
mm-hmm.
you, when you don't have a controller, you lose that aspect of it that makes the game a bit more immersive in favor of something that you hope is more immersive as well.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you're kind of pros and cons here when we're getting rid of the controller. So that was weird. But other than that, you know, it felt fine. I found myself like putting my hand out too early, you know, because I don't really know. There's not a lot of depth there, so I don't know exactly how far away someone is. It doesn't feel like I can really know this person is exactly, you know, 5 feet away. Now's the time to stiff arm them. You just kind of put your arm out ahead of time, and then when the model of the other opponent came nearby, it would just automatically do the animation of you knocking them away.
Did you see any other people playing the other games? Did you
like
notice?
Invisimals?
What's Invisimals?
Well, there's a couple game. I don't actually know if it's Invisimals. I actually think that's the PSP title. But there's one game where it's like a tiger. You play with like a tiger. It's kind of a cute thing. You might have seen a video of it. It's like Milo, but instead of a little boy, it's a cougar.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah,
I guess that makes it less creepy than a little boy.
Yeah, well, I guess.
I mean, you know.
We should be instilling fear of large jungle cats into our children.
They could just take up the entire Natal screen. Your kid will have to run from it.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, what do you think? I mean, do you think that it's something that you would want or are interested in at all based upon what you've seen?
So I heard the Harmonix dance game was, like, by far and away the leader of
Dance
the
Central?
Kinect.
Yeah.
I also heard that maybe it was Ubisoft. There was a workout game that people were, like, really interested in because
so
it looked
Ubisoft
like...
Yeah, Fitness, something like that,
It was called, like, Your Body or something.
Yeah, that was actually... I think that was probably the best use of Kinect.
Yeah.
Which is fine, you know. You're a big fan of Wii Fit, Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly what the Kinect is good for.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you saw any video footage of it, but what it does is take a full body scan of who you are, and then you can see yourself on the screen compared to the other character, your trainer, who's saying, oh, lift up your leg and do all these things.
Yeah.
And it'll know whether or not you're not lifting high enough.
Because it'll know the outline of your leg instead of just a generic pre-programmed leg.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's a big difference between working out to like an exercise video, you know, like burning fat from the 90s or something
like that. Yeah, like sweating to the oldies, and you just have to kind of mimic it rather
than, and you don't know how well you're doing. This game can actually give you feedback and say, you know, quit being such a pansy and lift your fucking leg already. Or, you know, run faster, chubby, or stuff like that. So,
was there any connection between... Connection? Well, literally, like, was...
That's a stupid name change, by the way.
You don't think it...
No, I like Natal much better.
Well, I mean, Natal is... I guess it's not really evocative of what it is, though. Like, what is Natal? I mean, it's just a
What is Kinect? That's just
Well, Kinect has the kinetics, like K-I-N, like as
physical. Yeah, but that's why it sounds kind of cheap.
Oh, yeah. It does sound cheap, but I mean, like, I don't know. I think they left Natal on for as the name for way too long. It kind of became a brand of itself.
Yeah.
And now they have to kind of start over. And I don't know. They won't... I don't think that'll hurt them too much, but I am interested in if there was any connection between these types of... like minigame, fitness games, tech demo type stuff, and actual games.
Not that I saw.
I heard maybe Fable 3 will have something about it. Peter Molyneux is being kind of cagey, like maybe kind of hinting at something.
Yeah, I mean, that guy is always kind of weird. And
it sure as hell isn't true. I don't think it's going to be in Gears. I don't think it's going to be like in, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and there's serious concerns about how well it can read your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if other people are in the room, it, you know, might respond.
Mm-hmm.
Or how well it can read your body if you're sitting on a couch.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw any of
that.
Oh,
okay.
There's concern that you're not going to be able to... It's just not going to... it's not calibrated to see you well enough. So, you know, even if it does launch with Gears or something, mm-hmm. I mean, how well is it going
to
work?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the weirdest thing to me, because now it seems like Microsoft is trying to have things... both ways. You know, they're trying to go after kind of the Wii audience and the Wii philosophy while keeping things like Gears around.
Yeah.
And I think that segues well into Nintendo, because Nintendo, it felt like, is moving in the opposite direction now.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if this was the buzz on the floor, but it felt like Nintendo kicked ass at E3.
Definitely. Like, that was the buzz on the floor.
Yeah. So what did you think about their lineup?
Sure. Well, okay. I'm sure you saw some of their games that were announced were another Kirby game.
Yeah,
which looked pretty neat. Like the Epic Yarn, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Which does look really neat and looked really nice, and I'm a huge fan of the Kirby franchise. I saw no inhaling, so I don't know how I feel about that, but there may be inhalation in the future.
Maybe he'll just wrap people up now or something. Yeah.
A new Donkey Kong Country game.
From Retro, who are the people that did the new... Metroid Prime games.
Which, to be fair, looks exactly like Donkey Kong Country, the first one.
Yeah.
Which is cool, you know.
I mean, I wonder if it'll have that same kind of philosophy. I mean, that was a pretty...
You mean the collect bananas philosophy?
Yeah, it was just a very, like, old school platform where, like, one hit, you're dead. Like, you collected power-ups to get extra lives, and there was branching paths in the level, basically.
Yeah.
And it came out of nowhere. I didn't know anyone was working on that.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. Kid Icarus game, the other M Metroid game, mm-hmm. and then a lot of the huge line for 3DS and the Zelda game.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get a chance to play the Zelda, but I did look at it. I don't know if you saw any footage.
How was the art in real life when you were seeing it?
I thought it was terrible. Mm-hmm. I didn't like it very much at all.
Because it's some kind of weird mixture of Twilight Princess and Wind Waker.
I would say it looks more like an Ocarina of Time blend with the other three as well.
Because I noticed there was like really, you know, heavily saturated colors, you know, like everything was very...
But it didn't look very stylized, right? It didn't look like the colors were really bright. It seemed like it was kind of just a normal world.
Mm-hmm.
I can't shake Ocarina of Time from my mind. It definitely seems like that type of visual environment. And, you know, Ocarina of Time looks really nice, especially when you go into... specific areas run by the other cultures, but I didn't see any footage of that in the Zelda games. So I don't know how well they take their aesthetic and make it meaningful.
Because it was different from the Twilight Princess, where it was more gritty. I mean, they went for a more, you know, well-worn, weather-beaten look in most of the places, and I don't know, it just struck me as brighter, but maybe it is some weird, like, throwback to Ocarina.
I mean, I'm not a Nintendo fanboy, so, you know, maybe I'm not coming at it from, like, the most unbiased perspective.
Did you watch people play it?
I did, and this is one of the reasons I was not very impressed.
Uh-huh.
I sat there for 5 minutes and watched this woman using her Wiimote sword.
Yeah.
With Link holding a sword in his right hand, of course.
Which is weird.
Which is weird.
Traditionally left-handed. Yeah.
whacking at this flower plant, like, from Mario, and the plant kept closing its mouth, so she wasn't doing any damage to it. And literally for 3 minutes, he just sat there, like, whacking it. And it's with the Wiimote, and it wasn't... And again, Wii Motion Plus was plugged in, but it still didn't look like it was one-to-one. I mean, I understand it could be an early, you know, beta of the game.
I always think that it must be a train wreck demoing that Wii stuff, because... I mean, I've only used Wii Motion Plus for Wii Sports Resort. And every once in a while, I had to, like, lay down the remote and recalibrate or whatever. And so when you're on the floor in E3, God, the calibration of those things must be nuts.
I don't envy them. Yeah. And maybe that's just why it didn't make a good impression on me, you know, unless I play it myself for a good long time. But, you know, she just was whacking at it, and it wasn't really my thing. I don't know, man.
What was it, the longest lines at the show?
That and 3DS, absolutely.
So we should talk about that. So did you, were you able to take a look at the 3DS? That's probably the most important thing to look at in real life.
I did take a look at it. You know, it's another one of those things, like, I wasn't as impressed as everyone else was. It totally works. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need glasses. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. How does it work? Miracles. I don't know.
Miracles.
But it adds depth to the... to the world. And it's kind of cool because there's a slider on the right hand side that you can change up and down, all the way to off. But again, unless I see it applied in a really cool way, I don't really see the point.
What game did you see it with?
I saw it with Star Fox. And then I saw video footage of Kid Icarus working on it, and Wii Resort, a kind of like Wii Resort game.
Okay. How was the Star Fox? Was it just the HUD that was in front of you, or did they have kind of explosions going past you?
They had things coming from behind you as well. So, like, you know, in Star Fox, when sometimes a plane will be coming from behind you and take over the vision?
Yeah.
It was like that as well. So there was that 3D. And it was cool, and it looked nice and stuff, but it just doesn't seem to add all that much to my enjoyment of Star Fox.
Just a visual thing.
Yeah, it's just a visual thing. The one cool thing I saw was in Kid Icarus. There was a scene where a boss is firing a bunch of lasers at the screen. Mm-hmm. And he fires like six of them, and all of them are pink. So they're all the same color, and they overlap. And it can be hard to kind of judge where they're at in relation to each other. With a 3D turned on, I knew exactly where they were.
That's neat.
It's relatively, you know, it's kind of cool. And I could see its use being helpful in games where there's a lot of similar colors, and the 3D helping to add depth to them.
It's funny because I think that's exactly what we were talking about in our 3D podcast that we recorded a while back. Like, we were saying, like, if there is a specific thing, it might not even be like a completely new gameplay mechanic, but it's a new way of presenting an old thing.
Right.
You know, instead of staggering things horizontally or vertically, you can do them, you know, staggering them deep.
Yeah,
you know?
In depth wise. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I could see that working out really well. But, you know, I could see myself enjoying the game just as much without the 3D.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could see it giving me a little bit of a headache after a while.
Yeah. Was there, like, some eye fatigue when you were
I would say so. I mean, part of it is the viewing angle is very small.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have the 3D turned up max, there's really only one location for your head.
Mm-hmm.
You turn a little bit, slightly, you start losing the effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you get this kind of, like, maybe it takes some getting used to, but if you're moving around, if you're walking, you know, it's not something that's going to be great for your eyes.
So why do you think that people were so juiced about Nintendo then? Because you're kind of a dispassionate observer, right?
Yeah, I think I think so.
Well, I mean, you said yourself, it's not like you're salivating over the new Zelda title, so, like, you can kind of look at it a little bit more logically and less emotionally.
Well, I mean, I would say part of it is nostalgia, you know? A lot of the games that got people excited, Kid Icarus, Kirby, Donkey Kong and Zelda are all old titles.
Yeah.
They're all things we've been hoping that, or not necessarily Donkey Kong, but people have been hoping in general that Nintendo comes back to some of their older fanfare. They've been waiting forever for a Zelda on the Wii.
Yeah.
You know, so no matter what they put out, they're probably going to be excited about it. Who knows if it's going to be good?
Yeah.
I think one of the reasons it's taken so long is they don't know, you know, where to take the franchise at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think that's partly why people were excited. Mm-hmm. And then the 3DS is just kind of a cool idea. You know, Sony's spending a lot of time pushing their 3D technology.
Yeah.
And Nintendo, out of the blue, just says, look, we've got one right here. It's shipping this fall, and you don't need glasses.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. You know,
people dig that.
Yeah.
It's completely easy and consumable. And the fact that you can just turn it off at a whim, you know, of course there's a reason to be excited about that aspect of the technology.
Yeah.
On the software side, though, I don't know. You know, I mean, are you excited about Zelda? I know you're more of a fan.
Yeah, I thought Twilight Princess was like one of the finest Zelda games, but that doesn't mean it's an outstanding game in terms of innovation. Yeah. Like I felt like it was one of the better ways of doing Zelda. Like they finally kind of put together all of the lessons they had learned over the past 10 or so years with Zelda and put them into one game.
Mm-hmm.
And the environments were very large and you know, they had a lot of scope. It wasn't as ambitious as something like Wind Waker that was really different from Zelda games. So
would you have preferred Nintendo take the franchise in the Twilight Princess path or the Wind Waker path?
Well, I mean, it sounds like I've heard some rumors that maybe the dungeons aren't like discrete locations. Like you'll just kind of wander around and kind of find yourself in a dungeon rather than like, here is the dungeon gate. Now go in and now you do a dungeon, you know?
Yeah.
Which is makes it almost sound open worldy in a way. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think I would be interested in them getting rid of that kind of staged way of doing things because I think it's time for something new. But I mean, Zelda has never been like a really dynamic franchise. Like it always brings something new to gaming, but within the franchise itself, it doesn't change very much from game to game.
Yeah, it's kind of like Mario in that sense.
Yeah, even more conservative than Mario. I mean, like at least Mario has, you know, Mario Galaxy and Super Mario Sunshine and Super Mario 64 are all really different. Yeah. Whereas Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, Twilight Princess, Wind Waker, even though there are some differences structurally, they're very similar. And you know, really, actually, this will probably be the first game I play that has Wii Motion Plus in it.
Yeah.
Because I don't have Wii Sports Resort, and you know, this will be the first time I ever mess around with that. I'm just more excited about the 3DS, actually.
Yeah.
Because it looks like the thing works.
It does work, which is cool. I mean, I don't see why not. You might as well get one, especially if someone doesn't already have a DS or there's this broken or old or something.
I think it would be neat if there was like a latent game that is three-dimensional, because then you could start using three-dimensional puzzles.
Yeah. I was playing a game near some level 5 team, and I got all really excited.
Yeah.
The Professor Layton game is a great idea. That'd be cool.
Yeah. So I think we should talk about the odd one out here, Sony, right?
Yes.
So what was their thing in E3? Like, Microsoft was Kinect, Nintendo was kicking it old school on DS, Sony was doing what?
I would say PS Move,
maybe. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think that's probably the thing that they're stressing the most, as well as, you know, some of their bigger titles, I suppose. Killzone. Oh, they're also stressing 3D a lot.
Yeah.
So during the press conference, they showed Killzone. Yes, they showed Killzone in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
And I should say Killzone 3 3D, or Killzone 3D.
Why didn't they just call it Killzone 3D?
They might as well have.
Okay,
And that was kind of cool. I mean...
Did they give you guys glasses to look at?
Yeah, they gave everybody glasses.
Okay. Yeah.
And it really shines with lighting effects, smoke effects. Like, this guy shot a rocket at, you know, the player, and you can follow the smoke line to their location in a way that, it, you know, other games try to do, but it's much easier when you've got the 3D there.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was some cool jetpack going on and snowflakes, and, you know, it looks really great.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you know, it also looked a little jittery. I don't know how much that was because it was a projection screen and not on the actual TV. But again, that goes back to the TV business of it, right?
Yeah.
And this is something we talked about in our 3D podcast.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't own a kick-ass TV, and a lot of people don't, it's not really something that's in any way, shape, or form feasible. Sony stressed that a lot of the studios that they're working with are going to be launching their games with 3D and non-3D modes on the same disc.
Okay.
And this is a big deal because, you know, you don't have to have a 3D TV to buy the game, but as you start building up a catalog and start investing in games that have 3D, you might be like, huh, I got some $2,000 to spend.
Yeah, it's kind of like quiet, softly getting an install
base. Yeah, it's clever. I mean, this is a great way for Sony to market their Bravia televisions.
Yeah.
But, you know, whether or not that made or break the company, I there's no way I could see that being something as huge game changer as they hope it would be. The Move was interesting. At the press conference, they had Kevin Butler.
Hey, he's the fake CEO.
Yeah, the fake CEO from the commercials. Yeah. Yeah. Who's hilarious and gave this great inspirational speech on stage.
Yeah.
He kept making jokes about and in the ad commercials, they made jokes about how the PlayStation Move has buttons, mm-hmm. and that, you know, of course you need buttons because you're not a kindergartner playing with a red ball. Mm-hmm. You need to interface with the world somehow. So it's cool to see them at least, you know, voice the fears of a lot of gamers with the Microsoft's Kinect system. Mm-hmm. And it's a knock, and it's an absolutely, like, tongue-in-cheek critique of the Kinect.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're also putting themselves at risk to ensure that the Move pays off.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you feel like there's any games that... Because I know they're re-releasing some games with Move, and I know there's some
Heavy
games
Rain,
that are going to be...
Heavy Rain, actually.
Yeah. So, would you play Heavy Rain again with Move?
I played Heavy Rain there with Move, and it was terrible. I could say, hands down, it was not the best way to...
How'd they try to do it?
Okay, so... It's hard because this isn't a visual podcast, so you can't see me raise my hand.
Uh-huh.
So one of the ways they did that was the main Move control in your hand. Say, uh-huh.
And that's the wand part?
The wand part.
Okay, yeah.
The demo was the same demo in Heavy Rain. Uh-huh. So there's one scene in which he's knocking on doors.
Yeah.
So in order to knock on the door, you have to hold the Wiimote up completely vertically.
The Wiimote, uh-huh.
Sorry, the Wiimote.
that's the big problem that they're
having. That's exactly right.
Okay, so yeah. Okay.
You're holding up the Move thing,
uh-huh.
and then you... move it forward to knock on the door at the right time.
And so you're just kind of extending your arm in front of you?
Yes, you're extending like a punch.
Okay,
almost.
Yeah.
To get something out of your pocket, you have to like hold it different vertical ways.
Okay,
and
so
then
like
move
point
it to the right.
So you're like pointing the ice cream part down.
Yeah, so this is another good point, the pointing aspect of it. So in Heavy Rain, when there are area... sensitive options, mm-hmm. like if you're near a refrigerator and you want to open the fridge, the thing's only there temporarily.
Okay.
Right, so the way that they do it in Heavy Rain is instead of holding that button, you have to point at it with the Move.
Okay.
You get like a little reticle, uh-huh. essentially. Point at that will cue what you're supposed to do.
And
like
then
move
you
up.
Do the thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here's the major problem, right? The movement, already in Heavy Rain, people are irritated about how the immersion is broken when you try to do something and fail, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When all you're trying to do is knock on a door, mm-hmm. and you've got a thing in your hand that says, look, if you just make the knocking on a door motion, it'll knock on the door mm-hmm. in real life. But no, that's not the way it works. You can't just go like this and knock on the door.
You can't just like kind of wrap your wrist on it.
Yeah,
like,
no, you have to do it vertical and then move it forward uh-huh. once, and then he knocks three times.
Hmm.
Completely immersion breaking.
Wow.
It's utterly ridiculous. And people were failing at what should be a very normal gesture.
Huh. So do you think that is a result of trying to implement it on a game that wasn't designed around it? Or do you think that, can you imagine this cropping up in ground up PlayStation Move games?
I think it could pop up in ground up PlayStation Move games, definitely. You just have to be careful about how you're implementing mm-hmm. it, right? I don't think that we shouldn't pretend that everything that we do in real space
uh-huh.
is going to be as easy to mimic in the digital realm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so it sounds like they're kind of going through the same growing pains that the Wii went through in like 2006 and 7.
Yeah.
When people were trying to either do too much or too little or too granular movements with it.
Yeah.
But it's weird because I heard that the Move is much more precise, much more precision.
Oh, it definitely is. Yeah. So I also got a chance to play SOCOM 4, uh-huh. Made by the same people who did the original franchise, Zipper.
And Mag, too.
And
right?
Mag, yeah. So they're very capable.
Yeah.
And I played the game on a little higher sensitivity than the guy originally suggested who was running the demo.
Uh-huh.
And it felt relatively good. You know, uh-huh. there was a small reticle on the screen. It was 1-1. And when I wanted to turn quickly,
mm-hmm.
Just moving it off of the screen would quickly turn my radius. And really could I would be able to bring my hand back.
And it wouldn't
very
have
naturally
to reset.
And fluidly.
Very...
wouldn't have to reset.
It sounds much more like a mouse and keyboard type
yeah,
feel.
It yeah. felt very clean. And I felt like I was getting off shots very accurately. I was able to zoom in, which kind of slows down the speed of your turning radius.
Mm, okay.
And it was kind of cool because when you're pointing at the screen and it's so 1-to-1, if you're being really careful about who you're trying to fire at, you might move your entire arm to move quickly to the right
mm-hmm.
in terms of moving the Move to the right.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But then you could also just move just your wrist.
Uh-huh.
Or if you wanted to be really accurate, hold your arm to your body and kind of move it very slowly if you're firing out of like a sniper rifle or
something
that
doesn't
see you.
You're kind of like mimicking a rifle with your arm.
Yeah, yeah. So that felt really good, and all the controls were solid.
Uh-huh.
You're lacking a second analog stick button.
Okay.
And I didn't realize how important that would be in this setting.
By a second analog stick button, do you mean like the L3 and R3
yes,
thing?
Yes, that's
like
right.
A click
pushing
in?
The
yeah.
click in.
Okay.
because you only have the left one, and in this game, it wasn't the run button. I don't remember what it did.
But they have, like, on your left, the nunchuck equivalent has a bunch of different buttons
on
it.
Yeah, the dongle thing, yeah. But it's the same buttons. Well, part of it was, you know, I'm pointing at the screen and moving with the analog stick, and in order to do a lot of the actions, I have to move my thumb and press a button that's not natural. Like, I have to move my thumb off of the normal pad onto the... Okay. It might just take some getting used to, but it was something that I noticed.
Yeah.
Another thing was when they wanted you to throw a grenade, they had you hold the grenade button and then just kind of move the controller forward, not in the throw the grenade movement.
I wonder if that would... I wonder if they were scared of... Because if you cock your arm back to throw a grenade, you might take your reticle off the screen, which means you'll start flailing around or something.
But it's the move, right? It should know where your icon is anyway. Uh-huh. So the moment you pull back sharply like that, they should probably just know you're about to toss a grenade.
Yeah, yeah. So do you think that the move is more capable for doing games the way we consider them today rather than the Kinect?
Absolutely. Yeah, hands down. I mean, the buttons are necessary.
Did you see anything either from Kinect or Move that would get you to buy something like day one?
Not a chance.
Yeah.
Dude, not a chance. Dude, did you see the price of the Move?
Isn't it like $50 just for the wand or something?
Yeah, so this is really funny. At the press conference, they announced the price of the... So the eye camera is already out. You need that for the Move.
Oh, yeah, because that's how it communicates with the wand, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know how much that costs, but that's there.
I mean, it has to be at least $50, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. The controller was something like, $50. Mm. And people cheered and were like, the controller. And then the dongle's going to be sold for $30 as a second. And no one cheered. Everyone was like, oh, the dongle's not included. I see.
That's brutal.
So if you include the main controller, the dongle, and the eye camera for just one player, that's upwards of $120.
Yeah. And the conventional wisdom is Kinect is going to be about $150.
Yeah. And anyone can join. I mean, you could have four players on the Kinect.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think the Move is kind of cool, but I'm not going to blow that much money unless there's already a body of games I'm eager to play. I don't have an eye camera now, and I don't really see why I would get one.
Yeah, that's really... It's just so... E3 is such a strange thing.
It really is.
I guess that's the last thing I want to comment on, because, like, from the outside, it always seems really strange. From the inside, what is it like in there?
It's pretty strange. Yeah.
Like, is that because you have to interact with a lot of marketing folks, or
It's a lot of the marketing thing. It's funny, because at this point, I've been to the three major conferences that I've always kind of wanted to go to, right? GDC, the Penny Arcade Expo, and E3.
Yeah.
And all of them have such different feels, you know? Like, PAX is for the gamers, for the people playing it and who enjoy play and story. And GDC is for the designers and the developers and the people who think really critically about what goes into it. And then E3 is for the publishers. You know, all of this stuff is targeted not so much for the people who are playing it to see new cool stuff. Because I don't, you know, even the coolest things at E3, like Rock Band 3, super exciting. I'm really glad I got to see it and play it and whatnot. But, you know, these things kind of could have waited. It's all about the visual spectacle at this kind of thing.
It's like getting the Cirque du Soleil show going
exactly. And like, I mean, the Activision concert or whatever is testament to that enough, right?
Yeah.
Like, Rihanna and Eminem on stage and Nerd.
The people on the floor, like, did you get a sense that they were aware of kind of the ridiculousness of it? Or was there a certain type of, like, group mentality that you get enough people, you get them whipped up enough that they just kind of start believing, you know, in the hype you know, they start looking at things without a critical eye.
It's hard because I didn't talk to a lot of the people there on the floor. I think you get this weird divide between the people who are there for swag. You know, you see these people with huge bags with this big old like fantasy world that I've never heard of and will probably never hear of again. Going around and playing these games. But then you get some people who are exhibitors from development studios or the people who are there, you know, from another area. Like, I got to talk to some people from Riot Games who do League of Legends and stuff. And they're all really cool and they're excited about it. And they are there to see, you know, what are the technologies that other people are doing? What are the kind of innovations that people are trying to show off and saying, you know, I think this is going to be something that is going to be important in the future. Because, you know, they're in the industry and they're trying to keep in mind, where am I going to be going next? Yeah. What is the technology that I'm going to be relying on in 5 years?
Uh-huh.
Or what are the innovations that I'm going to be, you know, relying on?
And are they campaigning for that stuff? Like, are they trying to make their case for it? Like, oh, this is going to be the thing, you know, you should buy this, or publishers, you should pay more attention to this. Or are they just trying to kind of show it off?
I mean, I would just say show it off, but I mean, it's hard to tell when it's, you're covered in other like PR aspects of it, right? Like all the booth babes and all the, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, was there a lot of that going on, or did they like cut back a little bit?
It wasn't as big of a presence as I thought it would be, as it seems like it has in the past. But they're there. They're always there.
Yeah.
I mean, pick a, if you're not PAX,
That's true. That's true. Do you think that there's, I mean, we inhabit a really weird space in the video game community, I think. Like, do you think that there is anything important for like the more like critically minded folks, or like, you know, geekiest of the geeks, which is like, I would consider myself in one of those.
Like,
is there anything redeeming about this for us, or is it just kind of titillation?
It's probably just, the funny thing is, so many of the games that are demoed there and shown at E3 are not anywhere near their final product.
Yeah.
You know, so it's hard to say, oh, yeah, this, you know, this story is going to be really great, or, or we're going to be able to see such and such. Mm-hmm. A lot of this is just imagining what things might be like over the next 3 years. You know, things are announced for this fall, you know,
like Rock Band 3
and speculation, but not, I mean, not really, other than... Other than it's just cool to see people really into what they do.
You know,
it's cool to see, because a lot of the demos are demoed by developers and, and people there, and it's cool to see them really enjoying what they do. And, and you know, I even talked to one of the teams working on like Six Strings, that gig. It's like a knockoff.
Oh yeah, Rockman, it's the
which is just terrible. One of the worst things I've ever played. I don't know what was going into their minds, but this guy was into it, and for no other reason than that, that was kind of neat.
Just the sheer enthusiasm that they bring to their product when they're out there.
Yeah, yeah.
So to end, because this is such a speculative conference, do you have any predictions based on what you saw there about like what's going to succeed, what's going to flop?
Yeah, the 3DS is going to kick ass.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the DS Save is money. The widest selling. Yeah. If you can invest in Nintendo, do it.
Yeah.
And Rock Band is going to be fucking awesome.
Okay.
I can say that right now. That's going to be great. And those guys just are so smart. Their interface design, it's super nerdy, but man, I love the way that they change their interface.
I've heard a couple of them talk on podcasts, and you just start kind of shaking your head, and it's like, they are so far beyond what everyone else is doing in rhythm games. Like,
they really are. They really are.
Especially, I saw this really awkward presentation where the dude who is in charge of the Dance Dance Revolution projects was like demoing it, and it's like, God, you're so far behind what Harmonix is doing. Like, it's crazy. Like,
I mean, what can you do, you know?
Like, I don't know. They're just, like, super smart over there.
Even Dance Central, you know? I'm not that big of a fan of it, but I'd play that, man.
Yeah.
Like, that looks fun.
Yeah.
And I've got so much faith in their ability to make that fun and know what goes into it, you know?
And the rest of it is just kind of smoke and mirrors, right? Like, the Move and the Kinect, like, we'll see what happens, like, but there's no safe way to predict anything from
it. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, it sounds like it was pretty fun. I mean, it was an eventful E3.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, even last year, and when I didn't go to it, it's still exciting to see what's coming up and, you know, what are the publishers putting their money behind.
It's like a little Christmas in June, kind of, because like, you're not really, like, it's so weird that we didn't know a new Twisted Metal was coming, and like all of a sudden, bam, Twisted Metal. And
well,
like,
David Jaffe lied about it.
Well, yeah, like you have like a maniac, like David Jaffe, who's like straight up, like, you know, saying no, and then it's like, oh, here
Psych.
It is. Yeah,
Sweet Tooth.
Yeah, it's just it's such a weird, it's so unique to video games too, like that kind of secrecy that goes behind it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird stuff, man.
Well, I'm glad you survived anyway to tell the tale to all of us out here. If you feel like writing in, asking your questions, or commenting on conferences, E3 in general, feel free. Our email address is experiencepoints@gmail.com.
If there's something that you found super exciting that came out of E3, let us know what it is and whether or not you think it's something that you're going to be into and get into and buy. Are you going to be one of those consumers, day one consumers?
You're going to be all about that new Zelda.
Hell yeah.
All right, folks, until next time, take care.
Have fun.